Lord, I ask you just to open our hearts and, Lord, plow the soil. Let the seeds be planted. Lord, you care about every one of us. You want the very best for every one of us. So, Lord God, minister to us. Let the truth of your word pour into us today. I give you praise and I give you thanks. I ask the Holy Spirit to speak through me. And we thank you for this day. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Amen. I want you to turn to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. We're going to begin with verse number 14. Prayer request. Those are those we prayed about. Hallelujah. I think we did. Mark chapter 9, beginning with verse 14. And when he had come to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them and scribes disputing with them. Immediately, when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed, and running to him, greeted him. He's talking about Jesus, okay? And he asked the scribes, "What are you discussing with them?" Then one of the crowd answered and said, "Teacher, I brought you my son, who has a mute spirit. And wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not." He answered them and said, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me." Then they brought him to him, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Jesus said to him, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." Immediately, the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "Deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more." Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him, and he became as one dead. So that many said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him up, and he arose. Hallelujah. Let's read two more. And when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not cast it out?" So he said to them, "This kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting." Verse 23 is one of the most profound verses in the New Testament. Jesus said to him, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." Amen. Amen. So nothing is impossible if you believe, if your faith is strong enough. Amen. There's another verse in this story that offers us tremendous hope. That's verse 24. It says, immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." Do you see what that says? Obviously, the father admitted that his faith may be weak. But we do get a sense. We do get a sense that Jesus will help us even when our faith is not so strong. Are you with me, folks? Amen. Jesus will help us. Now, I want you to go back a few pages to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. And we're going to begin with verse 1. Holler when you're there. Okay. Then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadareans. And when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshipped him. And he cried out with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me." For he said to him, "Come out of the man, unclean spirit." Then he asked him, "What is your name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." We are many. I want you to take note, brothers and sisters, that according to these scriptures, there are definitely spirit beings. Amen? Amen. Spiritual beings that have some level of influence, good or bad, on the people of this world. Now, not only have I read about these spiritual beings, I've also run into those spiritual beings. Years ago, soon after Bonnie and I were saved, we were having a Bible study at the Methodist Church. It was our Sunday school class, and it was during the week, it was night. We had locked the church after we come in, and we were upstairs in a far corner where no one could find us. But somebody did. All of a sudden, we heard steps coming. And it made everybody uneasy. The door was closed. It was locked. How did somebody get in? How did anybody even know where we were? Well, this man came in. And all of us, the hair on our neck stood up and just wasn't right. And he spent some time telling us how the scriptures were wrong. He finally left, and all of us knew we had been visited by a demonic spirit. No question about it. Very eerie, scary thing. There should be no question in our mind that there are angelic beings that serve the purposes of God. No question. But then there are also demonic spirits or evil spirits, as Mark mentions in both our scriptures, that serve the purpose of Satan. Now in Mark chapter 5, Jesus is asking a question of the man who is possessed by an evil spirit. He asked the spirit what his name was, because Jesus wanted to identify the evil spirit and get to the bottom of the problem. I've been taught, and it just makes sense, that when you have a problem in your life, in order to really fix the problem, you need to identify it. Amen? However, all too often Christians talking to us, Christians have the ability and sometimes prefer to keep some dark things secret. I'm not talking about demonic possession, as in our two stories, but an influence of the devil or a sinful situation that has contributed to our present state. A long time ago, I read a little book about how we as Christians have locked closets full of secrets, and we try very hard to keep Jesus out of those things. Jesus is constantly cleaning our spirit, cleaning our heart, but there's those locked closets that we won't let them come in. Amen. Most of us realize that if we keep pursuing Jesus, He will keep persisting with us until we give up revealing those hidden things we have behind those locked doors and allow Him to sweep those areas as well. Amen? That's what I hope for all of us. That's because Jesus is better. Jesus is better, and He wants you to be the best that you can be. By hiding these secrets, we are really trying to protect the things that are working to destroy us. Can I say that again? By hiding those secrets, we are really trying to protect the things that are working to destroy us. Those things that dissuade us in our spiritual walk with Jesus. How smart is that, folks? Hanging on to the thing that's destroying us. Some of us have secrets that we think no one else knows about. We would never tell a soul. Never. And I think you agree with me that in some cases, it's really okay. Really okay not to tell anybody. Probably best in certain situations, because some things should never be spoken to our enemies, nor our friends. There are some folks, sad to say, they don't know how to keep anything confidential. And they certainly don't understand the grace of God and forgiveness. But brothers and sisters, it's necessary that we face reality in an effort to identify the demonic things that are influencing us as they work secretly to destroy us. Necessary. Now, many times demonic influences can attack us even at a very early age. And consequently, you have no control over how they got there. But nonetheless, you cannot be delivered from the hold they have on your life until you identify them and even name them and then allow Jesus to release you from the stranglehold Satan has designed just for you. Think about it. Child abuse, divorce, abandonment, molestation, alcoholism, drug addiction, pornography, depression, fear, anxiety. Do you recognize the names of those strangleholds? I don't even want to mention any more of these things this morning because these names have incredible power. Incredible. And to prove that, all you have to do is name one of these monsters, and immediately someone will have a response. Oh, please, let's not talk about that. Don't bring that up. Can we change the subject, please? So we won't discuss those things this morning. I just want you to understand that there are evil influences. Evil influences. And some of them have a very strong hold on our lives. Even if you consider it to be a minor thing, it is still there. It is still there. So please don't allow these strangleholds to control the happiness and peace that Jesus has purchased for you. Now understand that God does not want you tolerating these things or living with these things. It's not His plan. Because every now and then these problems that they cause will pop its ugly head up, leaving you depressed, anxious, and troubled. You will eventually be robbed of many things you hold dear. There can be no real joy or peace or contentment if something negative is in your life. So in our passage of Scripture, Jesus wanted to know just who it was that was causing the problem in this man's life. And the evil spirit said, "My name is Legion, for we are many." In other words, not only did this man have an evil spirit present in his life, but there was a stronghold of evil spirits living within him. We can say that spiritually, this man didn't have just one problem. He had many problems, right? Now, it's interesting to me that this knowledge of multiple demons does nothing to Jesus, and it does nothing to keep Jesus from casting them out. In fact, it was no problem at all for Jesus. No problem. And that's the reason that we can testify that Jesus is better. Jesus is better than any area of Satan's influence. Jesus is better. The man could have stood there all day long, rattled off all the stuff that was happening in his life. He could have named the name of every evil thing, but it wouldn't have made any difference. He could have thrown names out there that would have terrified people, names that would have insulted people, and names that would have made some run away in fear. But the spirit already knew that no matter how big or how strong or how scary they were, Jesus was on the scene and they had to go. Amen. Jesus was on the scene and they had to go. These spirits knew that their reckoning had come. Their power over this man had come to an end. Amen. Now you may realize there is an influence of Satan in your life. That is definitely a problem. But Pastor Jerry, where do I find help? Where do I find help? In Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, we get some clarification. Help is on the way. We are given a name, and it's mentioned here for the first time. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21 says, "And she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Somebody shout with me right now, Jesus.
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 Jesus is better.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. You see, simply naming our various everyday troubles, including those we keep in locked closets, doesn't negate the problem. But when we declare the name of Jesus with sincere conviction during our battle against these strongholds, then all of the demonic forces that resist us will automatically lose their power. Why? Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 says, "Therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name." Name that is above every name. So what does Paul mean exactly when he says above every name? In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 21, and Pat, I want you just to leave this up for a minute. "Far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come." So Jesus is above every name. Jesus is above every name. Didn't those scriptures just tell us that? Now let me show you why Jesus is better. We've already established that the name of Jesus has power. Okay? So Jesus' name will supersede all of the following. Far above all principality. The word principality means dominion or territory. His name is far better than any dominion or territory. And power. The word power here signifies a control, an authority, an influence, or a rule. His name is above. Above. And might. The word might means a force. A force. And dominion. The word dominion is a place where strongholds have rule. God's name, Jesus' name, is above those things. Way above those things. So Jesus' name has more control, more power, more strength, and more authority than any and all spiritual forces. Did you get it? Let me say it again. Jesus' name has more control, more power, more strength, more authority than any and all spiritual forces. Amen. Then the scripture continues by saying, and every name that is named, and every name that is named not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. You see, the all-encompassing, all-powerful, almighty, all-consuming, all-glorious, all-illustrious, preeminent name of Jesus has all authority over everything. Amen. Did you hear me? Amen. Over everything. Amen. Amen. There is nothing that can be named that the name of Jesus does not have authority over. This is significant for us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Pat. There are times when the name of Jesus will be influential over something we haven't even thought about. For instance, when we baptize someone, using the directives Jesus gave us, we baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But also, we take the opportunity to emphasize that the one being baptized in Jesus' name also has a relationship with Jesus, amen, just as Peter told us to do in Acts chapter 2. That's important. Why? Because it is the name of Jesus, the sacrificial lamb, which has the authority over every sin that can be named. The immersion of someone in the water during baptism signifies a burial. So through the name of Jesus, we are burying the sins of the believer through baptism. Hallelujah. How important is that when it's just mentioned in a phrase? But the name of Jesus is better. It's better. The angel of the Lord declared this in Matthew 1:21, and she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So understand something with me this morning. We need to know the name of our God. We must use the name of our God. In the Old Testament, they called Father God Jehovah or Yahweh. In the New Testament, we most often refer to God as Jesus. If we are to overcome the oppression in this world and enjoy all that the world has planned for us, we need to recognize and understand the significance and power in the name Jesus. Jesus. Any and all attacks against your walk with God must be called into subjection by the name Jesus. Jesus. Demonic influences must and will come under God's authority when we use the name Jesus. It's encouraging. It's encouraging to me when the Christian community started using the name of Jesus. Much of it started in the charismatic renewal of the 70s. I love to hear other pastors and evangelists, Christian leaders, use the name of Jesus when they pray. Christian artists, they write songs and singing songs about the name of Jesus. Angela had one picked out this morning. She didn't know what I was preaching about. That happens all the time. Jesus, Jesus, there's just something about that name. Hallelujah. Far too long, much of Christianity has been ignorant and fearful of using the name of Jesus. Even today, people will still say Christ. They will say God. They will say Savior. But they hesitate to say Jesus. Why is that? I want you to understand the words Christ, God, Savior, they describe what He is. But to name Jesus is who He is. Who He is. When you say Jesus, you're saying Christ. You're saying God. And you're saying Savior. Oh, the name of Jesus. It's above all other names, folks. Above all other names. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 through 11. Therefore God also has highly exalted Him and given Him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow of those in heaven and those of earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Hallelujah. Take authority over the enemy, folks. Some of you make a habit of getting mad. Get mad at the devil. And take authority over him. With the name of Jesus, the name above all names. Did you hear that? All names. All names. Cancer. It's a name. Fear, it's a name. Jesus is better. And Jesus wants our life to be better. Mark chapter 9, verse 23 and 24, Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately, the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. Brothers and sisters, Jesus is really better. Better. Let him help you today. Let him help you today. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together.